Salmon navigate through their noses, and that sense of smell could be in jeopardy if proposed mines are developed in British Columbia, according to Sarah O'Neill, a fisheries biologist.
That's what they use to find predators and prey and mates, and also to find their way back to the receiving stream where they were born. So that's where, how they know how to get back to spawn, is by smelling.
O'Neill is working with the campaign Salmon Beyond Borders, which is trying to raise public awareness about the potential impacts of proposed mines in BC. She says it doesn't take much contact with copper for salmon to be affected.
Experiments have shown that salmon's ability to smell can be impacted at just 2 to 10 parts per billion of copper, so that equates to like 2 to 10 drops of water in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So minuscule amounts.
O'Neill says those amounts are within water quality standards and can be legally discharged. And as the amount of copper increases, the effect on salmon does too.
They can impair their brain function. They can impair their ability to make the transition from saltwater to freshwater. You know, all different aspects which can ultimately impact their overall survival.
Salmon Beyond Borders has been touring around Southeast Alaska. The group is a coalition funded through different sources, including Trout Unlimited and the True North Foundation.
A big part of this campaign is not against mining. It is speaking for the salmon, essentially.
Jill Weitz is the Southeast Outreach Coordinator for Trout Unlimited, and she's working on the Salmon Beyond Borders campaign. They also work with conservation groups, the United Tribal Transboundary Mining Working Group, and they've worked with the Tall Tan First Nations, which has been blocking the Red Chris mine in BC. The group wants input in the BC permitting process for proposed mines. Three of the proposed mines are in three main watersheds shared with Alaska, the Taku, Stikine, and Unik Rivers.
We're trying to look at this as a mining district. It's incredible how many projects are being proposed right now. There's over a dozen large-scale mines that are in different stages of permitting and development.
I think the real issue is, how do folks in the U.S. address issues in Canada that could impact them? And there's no mechanism in place right now to do that.
Dr. David Chambers is a geophysicist and former mine engineer. He's now with the Centers for Science and Public Participation and is working with Salmon Beyond Borders. He uses the proposed KSM mine as an example of why they have concerns.
The water treatment plants that they plan to employ there will not discharge water at water quality standards. It will still be contaminated above, you know, in excess of those standards. And that contamination will actually reach down into the Unik River itself. They plan on treating something like 20 billion or 21 billion gallons of water a year. And that water treatment is going to have to go on in perpetuity.
Besides the idea of treating the mine's water forever, Chambers has issues with the cost. He crunched numbers and says that developers would need $1 billion in a trust fund to come up with enough interest to pay for that kind of water treatment. British Columbia leaders maintain that mines on transboundary rivers will not damage salmon. The country's top mining official, Bill Bennett, was in Alaska recently and said that they would listen to Alaskans' concerns. But Salmon Beyond Borders is skeptical that they will. The group is looking to the public to help continue what it calls momentum in getting a voice in the permitting process. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.